In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen. Today in the Orthodox Church is the Sunday of the blind man. Today is also the feast day of Saints Constantine the Great and his mother, Saint Helen. Today we also hear a retelling of the conversion story of Saint Paul from the book of Acts, which after the Lord tells him that he will be sent by the Gentiles to open their eyes. It's a beautiful thing to have all three of these things proclaimed in the church today. Three stories of spiritual enlightenment, three separate stories of individuals receiving eyes to see. Oftentimes in Scripture, the reception once again of one's physical sight, either after blindness from birth, like the man we hear about today, or from temporary blindness like that of St. Paul, is accompanied with a newfound faith. It's a dramatic turn of events for those who receive it. And the reception of physical sight often precedes the reception of Christ as Lord and Savior. We may think that this is interesting. What does receiving one's sight have to do with one's faith? The first answer is obvious insofar as what it means to actually be enlightened. To be enlightened physically means to receive one's sight back. It's pretty straightforward. But to be enlightened spiritually means something different. Means that we have now come to see the light, as the phrase goes. Means that we have been illumined. It means to become faithful to Jesus Christ and his church. We say this when we remove the chrism from a newly chrismated Christian. We say, "Thou art justified, thou art illumined, thou art sanctified, thou art washed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." So this is an obvious first reason why the two are accompanied. A second reason, as St. Nikolai Velimirovich points out, has to do with the fact that Christ heals the physical maladies first to show that they have no power before the will of God, that the healing of ills for Christ is nothing, and that the true healing comes when one comes to have faith. St. Nikolai says that it is much more difficult to open one's spiritual eyes than one's bodily eyes. And that for the creator of the universe to make one see again from the dust of the earth is nothing compared to the building up of faithfulness in the same person. The healing of the man born blind today, then, is an image of all humanity. That while we were still unenlightened, still unillumined, the light of Christ came to us and illumined us. The same goes for St. Paul, who, while yet a vicious persecutor of the church, we hear today, becomes its most ardent champion. Unlike the man born blind from birth, St. Paul was struck blind in his prime. He's blinded on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, and it is only through God's will and the disciple Ananias that he is healed. Now, what's interesting here is that from both Paul and the man born blind, God asks something of them. From the man born blind, Christ tests his obedience by telling him to go wash his eyes in the pools of Siloam. From St. Paul, God asks him to go into the city of Damascus and await further orders. So on their way from blindness to illumination, God tests these two men on their way home to Christ. God has them show before the entire world their resolve to follow him. Both of these men fulfill God's commands, and both are led to greater and greater faith. For the blind man, he is questioned by the Pharisees, and his faith only grows. Christ goes from simply being a man who commanded him to wash his eyes in the pools of Siloam, to later, when he is questioned again, he calls him a prophet. And later on, he calls him a man from God. And finally, at the end of the gospel reading, after being cast out, Christ himself approaches the man born blind, and the man confesses that Christ is the Son of God. The same goes for St. Paul. He is blinded, he is obedient, he is illumined, and almost immediately he goes out preaching that Christ is the Son of God, as the book of Acts tells us. Blindness, obedience, illumination, service to Christ. This is the way so often that God works in our lives. Today, as I mentioned, we also celebrate St. Constantine and Helen, two great saints of the church, and it's interesting that their lives follow a similar pattern. For St. Helen, after her conversion to Christianity, after her illumination, her service to Christ came in her old age, when she was tasked with finding the true cross of Christ, which she eventually found and brought back with great rejoicing to Constantinople. St. Constantine's own path from blindness to obedience to illumination and service to Christ came about with his own conversion. This happened long before his mother went and found the cross. In fact, it happened on the dawn of a great battle when St. Constantine was battling Maxentius I for control of the Western Roman Empire. Despite the fact that Constantine's father, Constantius, had been the Western Emperor of the Roman Empire before him, two successors were proclaimed by the troops that they led to take his place, Constantine and Maxentius, the son of Constantius' predecessor, Maximian. The finality of this dispute took place in 312, when the forces loyal to Constantine and Maxentius met at the Milvian Bridge, which ran across the Tiber River and led to Rome. When Constantine arrived, he soon realized that he was outnumbered by Maxentius' men. On the dawn of the battle, Constantine watched the sunset, and he saw a great cross emblazoned across the setting sun, with the words in Greek, "En tuto nika," in this conquer, or by this sign, conquer, surrounding it. Now Constantine was a pagan at the time, and his chief god was Sol Invictus, the unconquered sun. But this was St. Constantine's obedience, commanded to him by an unknown god, to lead his men to victory by faith in the cross of Christ, which he did the following day. St. Constantine would come to unite the Roman Empire under his rule and issue the Edict of Milan, the proclamation of religious tolerance to Christians as well as others within the Roman Empire. The rest of Constantine's life would be devoted to the service of furthering and defending his newfound faith within the empire, bringing disputes to be settled at the First Council of Nicaea in 325, and selecting his mother, St. Helen, with the task of finding the true cross of Christ. Constantine was not baptized until his deathbed. In a way, he was a perpetual catechumen of the church. He was not perfect. The burden of ruling over such a vast empire was difficult and an almost impossible task. However, on his deathbed, he was baptized, after which it is said that he never wore his royal garments again. Instead, he wore his white baptismal garments, valuing his Christian faith over that of his worldly office as emperor. These three stories, though so different, offer a behind-the-scenes look at how God works in our lives. For the blind man, it was Christ who gave him his eyes back to see, yes. But more importantly, it was Christ who gave him a faith which could withstand his own expulsion from the synagogue by the Pharisees. With St. Paul, it was the same, but even more so, withstanding imprisonment, shipwreck, stoning, and ultimately martyrdom. St. Helen experienced great sorrow when her own husband divorced her because she was not of noble rank. He was an ambitious man who would do anything to become emperor. She was a Christian whose nobility was laid up for her in heaven. For St. Constantine himself, her son, it was Christ who used him as an apostle to the Roman Empire. The way God uses each and every one of us is diverse and manifold. Some of us are beacons of Christ by example, others by prayer. Some teach, others give. What is important is our faithfulness and obedience to Christ, our illumination by him, and our service to him and his church. This is a well-worn path offered by the church and her scriptures to true salvation, salvation which comes from Christ, our true God, to whom we do all glory, honor, and worship, together with that of the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.